Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking everything down in regards to the transfer deadline day for Club America. And then, of course, we're going to get you guys up and ready for the Clásico Nacional. A lot of optimism, hopefully, coming into this one, although, spoiler alert from us, it is very much a pessimist perspective for this episode. But we'll get into more details about it as we progress through today's episode. And joining me to do so and to talk all things Club America in English, it is none other than the cowboy himself, Mr. Dylan Jimenez. Dylan, how are you, man?
Things are going good. Things are going good. Get an extra day off from work, so a little 3-day weekend for me starting tonight. So
awesome. Absolutely awesome. Well, what better way to start off than by ranting about a Club America, about a poor front office, and a less than exciting Clásico Nacional to come for Las Águilas.
Just perfect way to start it, right?
Yeah, well, what better way to start your 3-day weekend? Well then, let's get right into it, I guess. Dylan, I wanted to talk about the transfer window, and I wanted to start off the show with that because, one, I do want to apologize. We keep bringing misinformation to the people, and the more we do so, I'm thinking people are going to stop listening to what we have to say, and they're going to call us frauds. We had mentioned that the transfer deadline day was going to be tonight, because that's what I swear I had seen, that the Mexican transfer market closed on the 10th of September, which would have been today. I don't know how, but I went to go recheck, and no, it closes on Saturday, on September 14th. So I don't know if I'm seeing things wrong, if they're pushing the day back, if Emilio Escarga is just saying, you know what, we're just gonna... Deadline day ends whenever America signs someone. It feels like that at this point, you know? Overall, I get the feeling of frustration from the fan base, right? I think the Americanismo is fed up and had it up with this front office. You called it out from the beginning, at the beginning
early.
Of the season.
Way early. Too early to be like no, this doesn't make sense.
When you called it out, it was the end of June, start of July, and you mentioned it and you said, watch, this front office is not going to get someone in time, right? And we all kind of laughed like, oh, ha, 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 he, he, he. But we're down to the last 4 days of the transfer window, 3 now because today's practically over. Nothing has happened. We hear murmurs. We hear rumors. Yeah. Nothing concrete, though.
Yeah.
What made you make that statement at the beginning of the season so early on? And at what point was it... Did you believe it right away? Or did you think... Or did you say it as a joke? And I guess just kind of... How would you have described this transfer window from your perspective? Someone that kind of foresaw this conundrum happened for America.
No, like I was legit being 100% serious whenever I was thinking to myself, like, this is taking way too long than I think it should have. I mean, I think you've kind of said it in the past too, like, you know, the club broke, like, you know, we shouldn't expect nothing really big. But I mean, I look at it from the perspective, like, and I've said this before, I think in previous episodes too, at least I know I haven't agreed, like, we had the Quiñones money, like, you know, it doesn't make sense for us to what feels like just sit on that. And from the get-go, it just seemed like we were just going to sit on that. Sure, I mean, you brought in some players, but again, those never made sense to me. I think, and I know Chris will probably correct me later too, but it seemed like whenever we were getting like the Alan Cervantes, you know, it just kind of like oh, like, you know, how did Nez looking for like the versatility, you know, he's going to use him this and that. Well, it still didn't make sense to me because you literally regressed. It was obvious. And I knew that was going to happen with this team. I knew the regression was going to come. I just wondered how far set back this team was going to go. And yet, you know, as Bicampeonatos, you know, I just feel like, you know, as a board and, you know, wanting those high expectations of going for a third title, I feel like the board just kind of failed to market this team to players that hey, like, you know, we just won back-to-back titles. You know, we still have, in a sense, the squad that gave us those back-to-back titles. Sure, we lost, you know, a key player in Quiñones, but, you know, we want you to come and fill that void and help us make that run because we feel like we can get a third straight title. And I just felt like the board was never doing that. I just felt the board really just kind of like sat there, probably patted themselves on the back, which what it feels like is saying like, oh, like, you know, we just got good money from Quiñones. Now let's just sit on it and not actually do anything with it.
You know, when I try to sit and kind of reflect on what America has done this transfer window, it's very convoluted what the situation that America put themselves into. And you think back, like, okay, we all expected for this summer to be a summer where we were going to get poached by European clubs for players, right? We thought Fidalgo was going to go. We thought Cáceres was leaving. We thought for sure either Richard or, you know, Brian Rodriguez, another foreigner, was going to end up leaving, right? Obviously, on top of that, with the fact that Quiñones left, we knew that this potentially could be a rebuild of sorts. The crazy thing about it is I think the board expected something like that too. The front office kind of put in contingency some safety nets, right? Your Alan Cervantes, your Jose Iván Rodriguez, those type of signings that in a sense were sensible for depth in preparation of potentially losing out on a player like Fidalgo, like Cáceres, like Brian, etc. But I think they went about it the wrong way because Fidalgo didn't leave, hasn't left, isn't going anywhere because I think there's no more viable transfer windows of Europe where he would go open. Cáceres isn't going anywhere. Richard for sure didn't leave. Brian staying. Like, all of these names that we thought that potentially were going to end up leaving ended up staying. And so now the club kind of did things in reverse. And so we put ourselves in a situation where we were blinded by the fact that we didn't have any foreigner spots. So we kind of, you know, tied our own hands behind our back. And then if it wasn't for this Igor Lichnowsky injury, I don't think we would have been in a position in where we could have actually brought in this last player. Now, one thing's for sure. They interviewed Jardine after the friendly that they had in Orlando. And he kind of confirmed that for sure. Someone is coming. For sure, someone's coming this week. But it goes back to kind of the points that we've been mentioning is, Dylan, he's coming in midway through September, already probably almost halfway through the season, in a stage where your games are not going to be very much easy, quote unquote. So you're going to ask a lot from a player to adapt to a new system, to a new league, to a new country, and just take off the ground running. And that's kind of, you know, as far as expectations go, and in America, that's always going to be the case. But realistically speaking, the man should have had at least a month to prepare and come and adapt into the system. And on the other side of things, you had mentioned, right, that we have the Quiñones money, right, which was huge. No one was expecting to have this type of money available at our disposal in summer. Now, I'm putting my tinfoil hat on here, and I'm speculating and I'm thinking that the only reason why America didn't splash the cash for XYZ players is because, and I know this is going to sound maybe outrageous and a little bit ludicrous, but I don't know if some of that Quiñones money went to the Estadio Azteca for the remodeling, because they left it so late, because the project now has to be done in, what, less than 2 years? And so I think that, you know, that's obviously going to cost a lot more money, a lot more labor. So I'm putting on my tinfoil hat and thinking, okay, $60 million, cool. But maybe a third of that ended up going to the Estadio Azteca for remodeling, right? And another portion went elsewhere to fund something else. Like, that's the only concept in my brain that's making sense as to why we didn't just go ahead and splash the cash and spend upwards to 15 to 18 million on a Paulinho, on that LAFC winger that I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not even going to try. On a Cucho, like, players like that we know that are high value because they're worth that right now in their market, because they demonstrate that they're that valuable. The only reason to me, I think, that we haven't splashed that cash is because I think America's, maybe not America themselves, but maybe Baños is trying to be a little bit, you know, on the cheap side and be like, all right, we can find a way to fine tune this and make it work with $8 million. And at this point, so late into the game, you're not going to get anywhere with that type of money, you know? And that's the crazy thing about it.
And I just kind of look at this too, like, you know, like, I know obviously nobody left, but like, I wonder, you know, if like negotiations just weren't what America wanted, you know, it just kind of makes me think, you know, where did this kind of like all lead? Because it some of them, like, you know, like were for like Fidalgo and I think Richard, if I remember correctly, some of them seemed, you know, legitimate, like, you know, like it was there, it was close, but then like nothing happened. So like, you know, it kind of makes me wonder like what fell through, what went on behind the scenes for this not to get pushed through. And so I just kind of wonder, you know, what this board really is doing, because this, to me, like I said, like the board's not marketing this team to, you know, to be the best, you know, it's just kind of like, well, let's just kind of see what happens and then we'll take it from there. And of course, you know, like you've always said since we've been doing this podcast, you know, it's going to be at the 11th hour, you know, somebody random that, you know, we're probably not even going to agree with. And, you know, now here we are kind of pretty much at the 11th hour and we don't know who it is at this point.
And let's talk about that 11th hour, because it feels like we're getting so close to getting to that 11th hour. Right now, a lot of things have surfaced within the past 24 hours when it comes to Club America, right? I'm talking about XYZ, and the options that are being thrown around are two names. At least two names that I feel that I have been seeing the most. The one that has most heavily been rumored and the one that just kind of broke out just a couple of hours ago was the Victor Dávila situation, right? I think a Fox Sports reporter was saying that he was going to come to America, that the negotiations were going on and things were starting to get finalized. Then a couple of minutes later, Cesar Merlos comes out and says, you know, from what I know, America does have him in his radar, but right now no negotiations are going on. So we got two contradicting sides. And the other name that I heard floating around was that America was potentially going to go back in for Paulinho, the guy that Andre Jardine really wanted, right? But that was going to be upwards to $20 million, and that America had tried to submit an $18 million bid. So a lot is going on, a lot to kind of unpack here. And to help us do so, it is none other than Chris Rivera joining us now in regards to Club America transfer news. Chris, we were just talking right now about America potentially making a deal in the 11th hour of the transfer window closing. How do you feel right now about America's chances of getting in a good, reasonable replacement for Quiñones?
Well, I don't know, bro, because, I mean, all the rumors we've had have not really been reliable, you know? So I really don't know who's in our radar and who's legit and whatnot. So it's kind of hard to really predict if the guy's going to be good or not. You would imagine, right, that he's going to be a very solid player, but it just depends, right? Because Jardine has a system. Does the guy that we bring in fit that system, right? And based on the rumors, some do, some don't. So I guess it really depends, because we could sit here and sign a big name player, right? But if he doesn't really fit the system, does he have the same impact? You know, like that's how I view it. I'm not expecting a Federico Viñas or an Insaurralde type signing, though. I do think someone's going to come in because, like you said, Ivan, last week, we have money. So we could bring in a big name player. It just depends who's available and who can we make available.
Yeah. Well, you missed my little speech about my tinfoil hat theory, thinking that we spent some of that money on the Estadisteca remodeling. So I don't know how much money we actually do.
Oh, I think so too. But I think Televisa has brought in a lot of money this year that I think we have enough money for a lot of things, honestly.
I think we have money to bring in someone. I do agree with you in that sense. I do think that it should be a reasonable name, right? I don't expect a Messi or Ronaldo-esque type of player, but I do expect someone better than a Viñas or an Insel Rulde type of signing, right? Someone that is at least has somewhat of a name. And Club America's Mi Pasión is saying, Victor Dávila going to be the new player, then I'm fine with it. So, and I think that's kind of the general consensus that we've all had here before, too, when we're talking about rumors. Chris, you brought up something interesting, and you mentioned Jardine, his system, everything that surrounds his playing style. I'll ask you both this question. How frustrated are you if you're Jardine? Do you feel like the club has kind of hung you out to dry? After bringing them in 4 titles, they can't get you a proper replacement for one of your most vital positions in your system. If you're Jardine, I mean, how do you sleep at night, Dylan?
Poorly, I think. I think when you look at it, you know, you had a Quiñones, and obviously Ryan is not living up to the standard, you know, that was there. Zendejas definitely is, and I think Zendejas is better off on the right, but I think, you know, we have the debates, you know, Zendejas or Javito, right there on the right, but nobody has stepped up. Nobody has really taken charge of that left side, you know, and of course it's got to be frustrating. I mean, you come to a club that you like you said, you win multiple titles with in such a short amount of time, and then for you to just feel like you've fallen flat because the board is not doing their job and bringing the players to consistently go and compete, you got to be frustrated. You got to be sleeping poorly at this point, because you got to wonder, you know, what to do, because you know the fans are frustrated. I don't think the fans are necessarily frustrated with Jardine. I think they're still frustrated overall with how this team's been playing and how the form has been for this team in the season, especially in League Cup. But I think the fan base is, majority of the fan base is knowing that this is falling on the board more than it is the squad and Jardine.
Chris, what would you add on to that?
Yeah, I agree with the fact that Jardine should be furious, you know, and these are type of things that coaches could request to leave, because it's like I said, a system, right? A few podcasts back, I kind of brought up the fact that football nowadays isn't really individual dependent. It's more of, this is my system, you're going to do what I want for my system, and we're going to win Champions League, right? You see with Manchester City, the reason they're dominating isn't because there's this one player that's doing it all, right? It's simply everyone has a role and everyone's going to do the role. Well, Jardine's system's kind of the same. You don't really have this one player that dominates everything, right? That you put him the ball on his feet and he's gonna be Kobe, right? So to me, it has to be frustrating because let's also be honest with each other. And Ivan, you brought this up a lot, you know, when bringing up our wingers, natural wingers. Back in the day, it was only Brian, right? Especially on the left side. You had Quiñones, who was more of a second striker, not necessarily a 9, not necessarily a winger, not necessarily a cam. It was just a guy that you could pretty much plug anywhere, but if you had the right system, you want him as your second striker. And in this backup was Cabecita, who was also the same way. He wasn't a winger. He was a guy that was going to run forward, and he was going to try to cut in and be that second striker. And then there's Brian, who was the third guy, right, who brought something different, but we all knew, hey, this, you know, he's not the system fit. Well, he's number one winger right now, and you can kind of see that there's times where he looks more like a 10, an uncomfortable 10, than a winger. And I think you need to bring someone in that actually plays like Jardine wants him to. On the left side, Javito does a great job. He's more of a natural winger than Zendejas, but he does a great job to cut in, right? He doesn't play wide. He plays on the wing and cuts in and could be inside. And Brian struggles with that. So I would be furious, you know, and it sucks because it sucks for Brian because it's not necessarily his fault for all this bad, just the horrible streak we're in, right? It's not his fault. There's a lot of reasons why we're not performing to how we want. But the main thing is our problems could be solved with a lot of that play right there, right? That Quiñones or that Cabecita who is your second goal threat. Right now, it's only Henry, and teams are probably like, okay, we only have to worry about him, you know? So if I'm Jardine, yeah, and if you bring in the wrong winger, there's a good chance, you know, that he flops because it's a system, like I said. And I really hope, you know, the front office understands that, hey, we have to bring in someone that fits what Jardine wants. And I'm sure Jardine is throwing names. You know, we talk about Paulinho. I don't know how much I believe into those rumors because no one reliable has ever brought him up, you know. But if you have the money and you know that you have to bring in a bomba type signing because Quiñones is left, go for it, you know. If he's worth 20, hey, I'm not saying go and throw 20 just like that, but negotiate lower, you know, and bring in the player that Jardine knows because at the end of the day, you know, four championships in 1 year, it's worth investing in that coach knowing, like, hey, he knows what he's doing. We could win more if we just make him happy.
And let's hope that they do end up making him happy at the end of the day. Now, am I optimistic about Apolinio coming in? Of course not. I think that's just outrageous at this stage, right? But we'll see. We'll see. You know what the craziest thing about all of this is? That, Dylan, we're in the middle of a Clásico Nacional. And right now, the most important thing that any of us can talk about is probably a new signing and not getting ready to face Chivas in this Clásico. And that's crazy to me. It's crazy to think that this is now the conversation that has overtaken the fact that, you know, America is about to go play a Clásico. A lot is to play on the line. But the one thing, the main concern and the priority for most and all Americanistas is getting this winger signing.
Yeah, no, most definitely too. Yeah, yeah. And that, and again, it just goes back to the frustration to where, like I've kind of mentioned, you know, the board just really hasn't seemed like they put that, at least that position at the forefront when it needed to be. To go back, you know, because in case Kristen missed this, you know, I think, like you kind of mentioned, Ivan, the board banking on like somebody like a Fidalgo or Richard or Ryan trying to leave, and then of course it never coming to fruition, and then now here we are just trying to figure out that spot. And you know, it's just frustrating overall because there's a lot that, you know, that's at stake at this point, you know, because I don't think none of us expected us to be where we're at in the league at the moment, and yet here we are. And when we're trying to get points, we're, like you said, trying to more focused on signing this player to where, you know, we can get comfortable and be competitive, because right now this team just hardly seems a little competitive to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's the crazy thing about all of this, you know? And that's, I mean, wild in every sense. But yeah, Chris, talk to me about kind of what do you feel in perspectives of America getting the deal done before. Sorry, I'm losing Chris here. I just lost Dylan. Technical difficulty, sorry. How much optimism do you have that America is going to get this deal done before the 11th hour, that we have someone signed by like Thursday, Friday, and we don't leave it to the last minute and we announce, you know, a player coming in at like halftime?
I want to be confident, you know. It really depends where this player is coming from, because like I said last time, you know, if he's coming as a free agent, then they kind of have that window to really sign him, you know, really negotiate. But if he's coming from a team, which would be ideal, let's also be honest, you know, I don't want a free agent because he's not in playing form. If there's a player out there that's playing in their team right now, I want them, because by next week, I know they're not going to play this week, maybe, right? It could be an Igor situation where you kind of have to plug them in. That'd be wild. But we've seen it, so it is a possibility. But ideally, you know, you don't want to do that. I think give me someone that's already in playing form. If it is Davila, you know, I think that's probably a perfect fit because he is like a Quiñones. I don't know if he's as good as Quiñones because I don't think he's a goal scoring player like Quiñones. But he's a player that could play inside, could play the 9, could play the 10. Second striker type player. I think that's what Jardine wants. So I think Davila probably is the best fit. With that being said, you know, it's Russia. You know, when the news spread broke out from that reporter, Christian asked if it was reliable. I said to wait, you know. It's a complicated thing because it's the Russian league. It's like it's difficult right now to really send money that way and you know, all that. That's why the Fidalgo thing probably isn't happening because of that, because it's just a complicated how to pay them, how to pay us type thing. So, you know, so I think they get it done. I'd probably say we're probably going to start getting news like tomorrow, you know. That's my prediction. I think we're just going to start getting news. We're going to start seeing names. Davila is one of those names, right? Merlo is the most reliable. So, you know, if he says there's nothing concrete yet, you know, maybe there's not something concrete there with him. And they're negotiating. I'm expecting like 5 negotiations, honestly. I'm expecting to be negotiating with like 5 different players right now. So my prediction would be like Thursday, Friday, maybe tomorrow, Wednesday. But
5 different players? I just don't see him, man. Like,
It's a short list, you know? Like, it's a short list, and it probably is like and the free agents too. So, like, I do believe there's free agents that they're looking at and saying, okay, you know. Mind you, they keep on saying players from Europe, but maybe players that played in Europe last year. I don't know. But it's one of those things that, you know, I do think, you know, someone's coming. That's for sure. That someone's coming. I don't think it's one of those things where no one comes. Someone's coming, for sure.
No, well, for sure someone's coming. How didn't they even confirmed it? It's just, you know, what name are we getting at the end of the day? Do you guys know of any good wingers that play in Corinthians right now? Because they just signed Memphis Depay, so they might be willing to let go a good winger. So,
AJ's not here to...
That's the only correlation I can think of. You know, Brazil, Jardine, Corinthians, they just signed Depay.
Look, hey, Martial's still an option. I know you guys hate him.
He was rumored to be going to Flamengo, and then something fell out.
They rejected
through.
The option. Yeah,
it's fine.
Sergio Ramos is still there too.
Yes, I'm sure Sergio Ramos can play the wing. Why not?
Maybe at this point we just sell jerseys, bro. At this point we just sell jerseys. You know, bring them in.
We can't. I hope that's not the way that our season's gonna progress. Dylan, before we lost you here, I was asking Chris kind of his thoughts and what he feels like if America was capable of getting a deal done before deadline day, before that 11th hour. I kind of want to ask you the same question. Just give me a rating. What do you feel from a scale of 1 to 5? How confident are you that America signed someone before the Clásico? One being low and 5 being high.
Man, a 6 maybe. I just don't. A 6. It's just so. Like I said, just so. Yeah, I don't know. Is that too high? Oh, you said at least a 1 to 10. Oh no, my bad.
I said 1 to 5. I was like 6. You're giving them a lot of credit here after backing them.
No, they just a 1 to 10. My bad. I got 2. I guess, like, I'm just somewhere kind of in the middle, because, I mean, like, I know the rumors that are there, but I mean, I'm pretty sure we all do, but it's just hard to believe considering, you know, the option, I guess, we kind of had available. You know, it's just hard for me, at least from my perspective, in my opinion, obviously, to see it before the Clásico. Like, I feel like we're going to have something so random for some reason, like hours before the Clásico on Saturday.
In my head, I'm just thinking like America tweets it at halftime, like, hey, we signed just X player, you know? And that's just kind of my perspective. And this is gonna be on the jumbo screen. I don't even know if like the Estadio Azul has a jumbo screen. What's up, Chris?
I got breaking news. It's not breaking news. This is more to the Davila thing.
Okay.
Cesar Caballero is saying that. Hold on, let me read this because it's Spanish, so I'm about to translate it. So basically, he's saying that Víctor Dávila's name is basically there's some force coming with his name. There's a the negotiations are in advance, but it's not advanced negotiation. That's what they're saying. What is he saying?
So he's basically saying Dávila's an option.
He's an option. He's in advanced talks, but and he accepts coming to Mexico, returning to Mexico.
Okay.
I'll send it because
send it over here. Let me see what I can decipher from this tweet as well. Is this a link? I thought you were going to send a tweet.
It's,
I'm not going to read all
no,
of this.
No. But it says Caballero. it says Caballero, bro.
Jesus. Okay, I mean, I see where you're coming from. And that's, I can see why you, I would have had a hard time, too. This is three paragraphs. Damn.
Exactly. I was like, hold on, let me. I was like, damn, I should have waited to raise my
okay, but, basically what Chris said is true. The name is being circled around Cuapa. They're working on it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that this is the deal that America can get the closest done. It feels like it was the most tangible one since the start of the transfer window when names were being thrown around. It's a sensible signing in that perspective. Dylan, I think we would all conform to this signing, but it does feel a bit unfortunate that it feels like you could have gotten a little bit someone better, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's what I lead to whenever I get to the frustrating part about it too, because I think honestly, you had the money, you had plenty of time. Like, if you really wanted that Bomba, like go for it. Like, let's do this. Like, let's splash the cash that we had, to stay competitive, because like I've said it time and again, I expected this team to regress, but man, like, this team's regressed more than I really thought. And, just to get to this point, I was just at the point, like what Ivan said, something sensible, something that makes sense. And, hopefully that's this, but, it's just, we were right there. It felt like to really just stay up there at the top, and now we're just not.
Yeah, and look, the honest truth is that even with this Víctor Dávila signing, I will still say that this team has gotten worse than last season, and it's just the truth. I don't think that a Víctor Dávila comes in and fixes all your issues. Yes, he's a very helpful addition that will solve a lot of problems. But, it just feels like America could have done a much better job in building a team for Jardine, right? Because he inherited this team from Tano, right? This isn't necessarily his team. And this was a great opportunity for him to start building that team, right? Because imagine what he was capable of doing when he inherited a team that wasn't his. Now give him the keys to the Ferrari and let him kind of build the squad to his liking. I feel like we would have been in a much better situation. Obviously, I know that things can't go always perfect. I know that the way that the sport works, and especially with us being the club that we are, we're always going to get taxed a little bit more than any other club. So I do understand that there's hurdles to get over, but still, I feel like this is an opportunity. And when I go back and I think about other managers and the issues that they've had, right? What happened after Piojo left with Solari, right? It was Solari inheriting a Piojo squad that he then tried to alternate, but never really got his options that were brought in, right? The only one was Fidalgo. And then from there on, he had to kind of scrap with whatever they gave him, And then Tano came in, one or two different signings, left, Jardine inherits that team, gets one to two different pieces added on, and so on and so forth. But I do think that this is, if anyone's merited an opportunity to build a squad that he wants to his liking, this is the man that's giving you four trophies. Like, come on, you know? So
do you think that we kind of messed up and not rebuilding? Do you think that after winning four titles in total, right? You think we should have just said, you know what? These players are going to get too comfortable because we're in the clouds. And there's some players that just don't fit anymore, right? Some players that leave, right? Like Naveda and Fuentes and Chava Reyes. Players left, right? But do you feel like they should have said, you know what? We're not necessarily going to clean house. Our key players are going to stay. Obviously, Quiñones leaves, but that was just, you know, someone came in with big money and you said, okay, good deal for everybody. Late, you know, but you think it was one of those things where you had to look at everyone and said, you know what? We gotta freshen up. We gotta, because remember, when we won the 14, it was one of those things where it was like, okay, we're gonna keep everyone, right? We kept everyone, and then 15th came and we won the 15th. But then afterwards, it's like, well, you kind of have to freshen up the group, right? You do bring in players, but it's not like they're looking to regain themselves, right? All the players that we brought in were more like to regain themselves instead of like really stacking up the squad.
Yeah. No, this was like I was talking to Dylan at the beginning of the podcast. We all felt that this was going to be an important transfer window where América was going to lose players. They were going to have to bring in players. Things didn't really kind of pan out in that sense, kind of alluding to what Dylan was saying, right? We don't really know what this front office is doing there in the negotiation room, why things fell through, why a couple players didn't leave, why a couple players didn't come in. I think it's all up in the air right now, right? Let's just see how América closes out this transfer window and then we can kind of assess from there. But I do think that this was a year where you should have done better in the transfer market. But now you didn't. And now you have to live with the consequences. And now we got to see if this team is good enough to, you know, defend their title, which at the moment it doesn't look like they are. So, well, that is the transfer rumor update shenanigans. We have ranted on for more than enough. I don't think people want to hear about us talking about this transfer saga anymore. But we'll keep you guys updated on our pod, not our podcast. Well, of course, the podcast next week will keep you guys up to date with that. But over on our Twitter page, make sure you guys follow us over at Eagle Eye Podcast. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of América, and we'll bring you guys up to date with the most concrete rumors and hopefully an official announcement of this left winger that André Jardine and the fan base oh so desperately want to see. With that said, gentlemen, we have a clásico to play this weekend. So let's go on and talk about that one. That sounds like it's going to be not so fun for América either. So a lot's been going on, right, with this whole transfer rumor stuff. But we still have to play games, and we still have to find a way to make up points for the ones we've lost. And what better way to do it than with a clásico, Dylan? I mean, we've been doing this for, 7 years? Almost, yeah. Potentially.
Yeah.
7 years. I have never felt this dreaded about coming into a clásico than I ever done today.
No. Yeah, I don't think either. Yeah.
Not one shred of excitement is in my body when it comes to this game on Saturday. And that's gotta be saying something after coming off a bicampeonato season. You know?
No, yeah, and I think it says a lot too, because we've seen this squad not really compete, you know, and it's the frustrating part, you know. I think a little bit, some of us, you know, were, I guess, a little optimistic going into the Cruz Azul game, you know, I know we talked a little bit about form, but then, you know, it's always, you know, in these clásicos, like, it doesn't matter form, you know, it's a clásico, and I really think form is going to play a big factor in this game, because you know, what has this team shown for it in what, like, 3 months, 2 months-ish, 2.5 months-ish? And you know, it's a little bit worrisome, too.
Absolutely. Very worrisome. And Chris, the hospital does not shorten, right? Now we got news that Sebastián Cáceres is injured and most likely will be out for the Clásico now that he picks up yet another injury on international duty. At this point, Uruguay should just not touch him until it's like close to the end or close to a new World Cup. Because he just continuously gets injured, right? And Club America's mi posición asking, what do you guys think about the Sebastián Cáceres injury again while playing a bit of time versus Venezuela? Hopefully he plays the Clásico, even though there's no reports. The hospital beds continue to grow. No one seems to be getting better. And it's like Christian said, I feel like we need a cleanse with like egg and everything. Like, I don't know what's going on, but it just, everything seems to be stacking up on America at this point.
Yeah, I'm not expecting him to play. I think a player that goes in and plays 4 minutes and have to take him out, that's worrisome, you know. That best case scenario, he's on the bench. But if you have to sub in a center back, that's not
– yeah.
It's not, I don't think it happens unless we're, like, trying to protect the lead, you know. Hopefully, right? Hopefully, it was just one of those. He's like, he got scared and just said, you know what, I'm out or something. But then, you know, I'm sure America is mad at Uruguay because it's like, how did you guys not know that he wasn't feeling? Because it's the 4 minutes, bro. Like, that's very suspicious to me, you know? Like, how do you get hurt in 4 minutes? And it's like a muscle thing. It wasn't like an impact thing or anything. It was a muscle thing. So, not a good look. Well, we get to see Ramón Juárez.
No, even the worst part is we get to see freaking Néstor Araujo.
I was about to say that, even though it's not the partnership that we wanted, but hey, we get him, right? But, I mean, there's positions that we really should have just rebuilt. You know, going back to that, just hospital, man. And all you could really think, it's fatigue because, you know, we haven't been to hospital this whole time, but there's certain players that are always in the hospital.
No,
you know, not necessarily the real hospital, right? But Henry surprisingly hasn't been hurt, right? Knock on wood. Valdez is hurt. Cáceres is hurt. Igor, you know, he got hurt, but Sendejas, you know, it's one of those things. Javairo was hurt. Aguirre was hurt. Like
Kevin.
Kevin, you know, Kevin.
I've given up on Kevin.
Yeah, well, he had some decent minutes in this friendly that he played over there in Orlando. But look, you're not wrong to the sense that, you know, we need to start looking elsewhere for some replacements because I spoke about it this last week, right? Valdez is a player that you need to start finding a suitable replacement. Is it Chiquito perfect? I don't know. Is it going to be someone else? But look, you have to start thinking of life after Valdez. He's too injury prone at this point in this stage of his career that you cannot. He's a liability. At the end of the day, he's dragging you down more than he is picking you up. Cáceres, another player that has been just tormented with injuries for the past 2 years that I can remember him in an America jersey. He's always getting injured. I think the sooner we can sell him off to Europe, even the better.
His nose breaks almost every year too.
Yeah, well, he can play with a broken nose. That's fine. The fact is that, you know,
no, but I'm saying like it's like he's
here and there. Yeah, and so it's frustrating. So look, obviously, all of this is not helping the fact that, you know, America is coming into this Clásico on poor form. Right. And it doesn't help that we went into an international break off a loss already in a Clásico. So that's kind of dwelling in our minds, right? For 2 weeks now thinking, okay, what does America got to do to get better? How are we going to get better? Oh, white. Now we got to go against Chivas and we have to kind of make up for what we did against Cruz Azul. So there's a lot of riding into this game, a lot of expectation, a lot of heat. And to be honest, I don't see a lot of people optimistic for this game, right? I saw... Who sent out that tweet in the message, right, saying that some guy was like, oh, Cáceres is injured. Looks like this is another sign that this Clásico is being lined up for Chivas to take. Like, usually, there's this hubris from Americanismo, like, all week leading up to the Clásico, saying that we're your dads, we're going to beat you, that, you know, we're the ultimate team compared to you guys. And at this point, at this stage, I just feel like it's very much bland, it's very much meh. like that passion up and optimism has somewhat flattened out and died. And I don't blame them. I mean, look at the results, right? 4 losses in 6 games doesn't speak or doesn't even look like a champion. So coming into a Clásico like this, I mean, much less are you more excited or optimistic about it. And I think the club is shattered themselves too. I mean, for the past year or 2 years, they've had this whole Clásico week, right? Where they do something on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, podcast this, show that, celebrity game here. Like, now they're going to have, like, this expo in Dallas, right? With, like, a couple of legends, and that's it. Like, where's the passion and the drive gone for this game, Dylan?
I don't know, man. I mean,
it's not the first time we talk about it.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not the first time either that I think we've gone on here, even with, I think, a Chivas fan. Didn't we have Rigo on here one time kind of talking about this?
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know. Like, it just, it has, for me too, like, you probably say, like, since I started watching the team, you probably could argue that, like, some of that passion has been gone. But, like, you know, just getting it, when I was getting into it, especially, like, following this team, you know, I was really, really passionate about it too. And everything, and now just kind of seeing it, like, it's waning over the years, and I think the rebrand, or, you know, whatever this thing is kind of, it just seems too pushy. It just seems like it's more of like a, not a friendly, but like just kind of seem like, you know, just like another game, like, you know, like they're making,
like, watered down or what?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm trying to say, because, you know, you're adding to this whenever the passion is supposed to be on the pitch, like, not these shows and the podcasts, you know, these celebrity games, you know, like you mentioned, like, you know, it was different than that. Now I think it's just, like, a little more than that, you know, which I don't think a lot of people agree with.
Yeah, look, it's a tricky situation in that sense, right? Because I feel like you can't have all these extra stuff leading up to this game if it's done right and correctly in the moment. And some of it felt very forced in your face when they were starting to do this, right? Like the whole, like, e-football tournament stuff and all that stuff. Like, it just felt very much forced in your face. Like, oh, you need to watch this. And Chris, look, you and I kind of share a longevity with the Americanismo, right? Since we were young, and these games were do or die moments in your season, right? When the calendar came out, what was the first game you looked for? It was America versus Chivas. Everyone wanted to know when this game was going to be played. Now it feels like it's just another jornada that's going to pass by for America, or at least that's how me and Dylan are painting this game to be for us. I don't know what your perspective is on this one, if you kind of share our suboptimal views of this game and this Clásico. What do you got?
So I agree with you guys in the sense of it's watered down. It's not like any other Clásico, right? You look at Argentina's Clásico with River and Boca, and they're more hostile. They're, you know, you look at Real Madrid and Barca, you know, it's more intense, and nowadays it's watered down to the sense it's like, well, this is a family game, you know, like, don't, no violence, you know, stuff like that, which is cool. I get it. But at the same time, it's just like, there's no need to like remind us every single time. If they did it once, cool, you know, like, we're just here to remind you guys it's a game. We're going to have fun with our legends, their legends, you know, esports, a little podcast between Sendejas and Beltran, stuff like that. Cool, you know, here and there. But once they start doing it every time, it's just like, are we brothers and sisters or something? Like, you know, like, what is this? You know, like, it's like, we hate them, they hate us, you know. It shouldn't be more than just that. And yes, it is cool to be reminded it's just a game, you know. But it is very watered down. Now, if you want to, like, I don't necessarily feel it's just any other game, because, like I said, man, that game, there's legit hatred, you know. I have family members that I love until that day. And then that day, I'm, I just know they're going to be talking, man. And I'm just like, we're not blood. Like, I don't like you. That's how I feel. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, you know, but it's just like, you know, it's so annoying. I was like, oh, man, they mark a penalty, even if it's a penalty. Like, it's a clean penalty. It's a clear penalty. Oh, man, I already know they're going to be talking. Like, if they don't know the rules, they're going to be saying all these type of stuff. I already have it in my mind, all these annoying debates that I'm going to get into. But like I said, you know, like, that's like, for me, it's still that, but it's not like when we were growing up. And it's going to be many things, right? For many people, it's not the Chivas team that was competitive in the 2000s, right? America, you could even say right now, it's not the America team that was winning these big campeonatos. You could clearly tell we're a broken down team that has fight but doesn't have that knockout power. And me and you, Ivan, we always bring up boxing, right? Which is, hey, I could sit here, throw the jab, the combination, but if I hurt you, but I'm not going to finish you, and you come back and drop me in the next round, well, you know, I'm probably going to lose the fight. And that's kind of how it feels with this America team right now, you know? So I feel you. I completely agree. It kind of feels like a watered-down, very PG-type rivalry right now. But I still think there's still more. Like, this, it has seasoning to this game, you know? It's just a little bit of watered-down, just kind of like, meh. But I do think, you know, I do think the Liguilla games that we've had, the CONCACAF games that we've had, has added more fire to these rivalries. But like you guys are saying, it is watered down in comparison to other clasicos and to past clasicos that we've had.
Yeah, look, it's not to say that this game doesn't hold weight, right? At the end of the day, if America doesn't win this one, all of us are going to be upset for the entirety of the weekend and maybe the entirety of next week. Like, this game is going to weigh on us in that sense, right? But it does feel like that fire that ignited this Clásico once so long ago, it seems to be dying out. Not to say that it can't be brought back, right? But at the moment, it just feels like that, right? And look, it's not just another game. It is the game, right? But it just doesn't feel like it's the game at this stage and at this point in time. And maybe that changes on the road. Maybe we're talking about this 2-3 years now and things look absolutely different. But from this perspective, I feel like it's, yeah, you mentioned it right. Very much watered down in that sense. And so
now do you feel, because of recent history, and this is a conversation we've had in the past, right? And we all agree that it's not a Clásico. But do you feel that the game against Tigres has had more, how do I say it, more competitiveness to it, right? Now, I won't disrespect the Clásico Nacional, because at the end of the day, there's legit feelings there, right? But do you look at the calendar against Tigres and say, okay, like, this is more of a competitive game because it's someone that we could end up facing in the finals? Or with Chivas, you don't necessarily feel that. Do you think?
Yeah.
Or do you think I'm just way off on that?
No, I don't think you're way off. I do think that holds credibility. I do. When you look at Tigres, you're thinking, okay, competitive match, right? You don't think, whatever, it's just Tigres, right? And sometimes you're looking at this Chivas game and you're like, okay, cool. I know when the Clásico is, type of thing, right? You're not thinking, okay, do or die moment, title contenders here on the line. Like, you're just looking at this as like, you know, you're not looking at it as a 6-pointer. You're looking at it as like, okay, the game to win because bragging rights are on the line. So it's just one of those things. But yeah. Well, let's talk about this game. Let's talk about what America needs to do to hopefully try and manage to survive this, Dylan. Optimism probably on the floor at this moment, but if you're hiding it and you know that you need this game to go your way in order to spark some life into your team and into the season, how do you prep for this one, knowing that, right, you have all these injuries, you still have this unknown player coming in? Like, how do you prepare yourself mentally and kind of tactically speaking to face off against Chivas and hopefully try to get 3 points?
Man, I mean, it's just really tough because, I mean, I don't know where you start, because for me, I just don't really see the consistency from this team. I just kind of feel like this team's been really down in some ways. I think we've seen some few bright spots. You would think, you know, you take those bright spots and you build on it. But I just don't really see it that much from this team. Granted, you know, like, we're coming off the international break, you know, maybe there's some rest, you know, maybe you know, we are a little bit wrong to where, to the extent, like, you know, some of these players, because a lot of these players that we've played know, you know, what it takes to, not necessarily what it takes to play against Chivas, but know what this game means, you know, especially for the fans, for the fan base. And so I think that's what you really kind of take at this point is realizing, you know, what you're playing. I think you realize, you know, where you're at the table, and Hardiness starts to looks at this and tells the team like this is the point where we need to start clawing our way back into the table, and, you know, at least finding ourselves in the top eight for the time being, and just get to go from there.
Yeah, I think it's important that these players realize the severity that they've put themselves into, and that this is the perfect opportunity to win the fan base over. A good performance, right? And that doesn't necessarily mean that you win this game 4-5-0. A good performance means you put in a hustle and you get 3 points, regardless if the result is 2-1 or 1-0. You come out with 3 points and a good showcasing. Fan base is going to slowly but surely get back on that train and say, you know what? Okay, things are looking to progress, right? If you announce that signing, even if you announce it at halftime, but if you announce the signing that everyone's been waiting for, get a result, things can start going your way, right? It's a long road from here to the end of the season, but it's an uphill road that America needs to start slowly but surely crawling, and then eventually walking, and eventually running to that latter stage. And where, you know, Chris, you mentioned it, the most important part about ending the season is ending it in form. And this has to be the starting point. Because if it's not, and America doesn't come away with a victory here, even a draw would feel like a loss. And honestly, I don't think this team can take it. So you need to find a way to win, right? And it's not going to be easy. Because let's be honest, at this point, I think everyone would back Chivas to win this game more than they would for America to win this game. And that's crazy, because that hasn't been the case. For America home games, not been the case for the past, what, 3-4 years? So it's wild in that sense. And Chris, let's face it, we're not going to have a lot of people at our disposal, right? Still no Sendejas. We just talked about the Cáceres news. Richard is apparently down as well for an injury. No Diego Valdez. Like, you know, the options are very thin. Very thin. So if I had to go with the starting 11, I would go Malagón in goal, Israel Reyes on the left, on the right, Néstor Araujo, Ramón Juárez, maybe Chicote Calderón on the left. Just sounds more of a sensible, just sounds sensible in that sense. Midfield, Fidalgo, Jonah, Chiquito, on the right, Javairo, on the left, Brian, and up top, Henry Martin. Not the best, but also not a bad starting 11 either. You know, it's got some gaps, got some holes, but overall should be good enough to get the job done against Chivas, no, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I mean, I think maybe the midfield is one of those things where you don't necessarily love it because, I mean, Chiquito has at the 10 has not shown anything, right? Yeah. At all. He looks sloth. In what I saw with Isco Ramirez in that game against Atlético Nacional, I would go with it. I would go with him. I would tell, if I'm Jardine, I would say, look, put a canterano out there who's going to feel the colors, feel the passion, because that guy is not performing right now. And the guy that, again, it's a clásico, right? I mean, it's a friendly against Nacional, but what he showed, I personally would go and put him. I know he doesn't give you the youngster minutes because he's past the limit, which is horrible, right? Because you could tell the kid is talented. But nonetheless, you know, put him in, plug him in, you know. I would personally, but if you're not Chiquito, I guess, you know, it is a mess in that sense. The defense, I mean, it's possible that you go with Israel as a center back. I just don't know how much Kevin is ready. I don't expect him to play. But I expect him on the bench, you know. But I, you know, that's a possibility. But other than that, yeah, I like it. You know, I like the starting 11.
Yeah, I think that's the most sensible one at the end of the day, too. So we'll see. We'll see how much optimism that starting 11 can give us, and we'll see. You know, there's Club America Es Mi Pasión saying I would put Rodrigo Aguirre also. He's showcasing that he's a good player. I think he's a good impact off the bench, especially with some tired legs. I think he could do some real damage. I don't think anyone's taking Henry's spot, to be honest, at this point. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, gentlemen. Time for predictions. Chris, I'll throw it to you first. What's your prediction for Saturday's game?
I'm going 1-0, America.
1-0, America. All right. I like the clean sheet. It'd be very much needed at this point. God, we need a clean sheet. Dylan, what are you going with?
So I'm going to go and say, like, of course, I don't think we're necessarily in those dark ages that you've talked about before in, like, 07. But with the way this team's trending and Chivas just being beady at the end of Saturday, I think, for America, I think this team just scrapes out a 2-1 win. It's not going to be pretty, you know, but I think it's just something that this team needs, and I think it's kind of like, in a sense, some repeat of that 07 win where this team was not looking good, and I remember Ivan telling me Chivas was in form, and Wolf was, like, playing, like, allegedly at his best, but America still came out on top, so I'm going to go with the win, and we'll see what spirit in this team has at the end of the day.
I like it. Brings me back a Russo Brailovsky era where America wins it 2-1 against Chivas at the Azteca with Torito Silva.
Right?
Yeah. Torito Silva golazo, by the way. An exceptional game from Ochoa, too, on that. But I like it. You know, optimism at least there to scrape a win. Look, at the end of the day, I said it. America doesn't need to play pretty. America does need to pray. They don't need to play pretty in the sense that they just need to get the result, right? It's stacking up points at this point and then working on the final product at the end of the day. So 3 points against a rival. Heck, if you can get that clean sheet, that's an added bonus. But you can stack up something like that to kickstart off and dig yourself out of this hole that you kind of did, then it'd be great. It's absolutely amazing. And then you're talking about 10 more jornadas to go and where you can, you know, hopefully sustain something and you just kind of go off from there. So we'll see what happens. My prediction is, I'm going to go with what Club America Es Mi Pasión is saying, 2-0, right? He's going 2-0, 2-1, Club America, and Club America Femenil 4, Chivas 0. So he's looking forward to that Sunday game and hopefully celebrating 2 back-to-back Clásico wins. That'd be great. That'd be a great, great weekend for America, and it'd be a great weekend for me. I know I would enjoy that. So let's see what happens. But all right, that game is going to be live at a very tricky... What I have here is 5:50 p.m., although TUDN is saying 5:30. So it's either going to be 5:30 or 5:50 p.m. Pacific. 7:30 to 7:50.
Whatever Central. Canelo says, brother.
Yeah, at this point, whatever the
whatever Canelo says,
dictating this one. That is 8:30 to 8:50 Eastern time. Regardless, we're gonna keep you guys up to date over on our Twitter page. So make sure you guys go and check us out, and we'll keep you guys up to date minute by minute. AJ's gonna do wonders, hopefully, with America coming out on top and giving us something to finally celebrate about. Think about it. A bomba signing, a victory over Chivas, and magically your problems start disappearing, Dylan.
Man, I can get that that truck payment out of the way.
He's like, it's football season.
Yeah, that too. I got to deal with the Cowboys, so.
All right. Take it one step at a time. One step at a time.
Chris,
but all right.
Chris has got to deal with the future, so.
Well, that's true. You both don't have an easy season ahead of you. So,
neither do you.
Hey, my team's doing fine, or they will do fine. I would hope. We'll see. Well, I guess that's pretty much everything I got. I don't want to tie you guys up any more than I already have. Any last words before we kind of wrap it up here?
I think I'm good.
No.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Well, final prayer is that America does sign someone and someone suitable. If it's Victor Dávila, I think at the end of the day, we're all just conforming to it and saying, you know what? That's fine. I like it. And we'll just go from there. But thank you so much, Dylan and Chris, for taking out the time. Thank you to everyone in the chat. Thank you to everyone listening and watching either live or afterwards on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify or wherever it is that you may listen to us. Thank you so much. With that said, hopefully you guys enjoyed the Clásico Nacional, whatever you want to call it nowadays, El Clásico de México, El Super Clásico, El Clásico de Clásicos. Look, this name's got this game itself has so many names that it's hard to keep track of everything. But with that said, we'll leave you guys off with that. Have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba la America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.